Father, we welcome you here today in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that if anyone is held captive this morning, Lord, that they would truly be set free. That you would speak to us, encourage us, deliver us. Lord, may your will be done now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 1. You know, it's kind of exciting as a pastor to hear when God's using me and speaking through me, and when people say something after the sermon like, you know, man, God really spoke to me or whatever. And so I was pretty excited last week because after the sermon, after almost everybody had left, Mitzi came up to me and said she felt like the voice of God had spoke directly to her last week. And then God's been pouring into her this week, so she asked if she could share tonight what God's been showing her this week. And for some of you that weren't here last week, we talked about faith last week. Some of you that were here last week, you may not remember, we talked about faith last week. And so anyway, tonight we will have our normal Bible study at 6:30. But Mitzi has asked for a few minutes to share her testimony of what God's been doing with her. And I know we usually have a small crowd on Sunday nights, and probably going to be even smaller tonight with the hers gone. And I think Ellie's sick. I think that's why Casey and Katie aren't here, and they're part of our Sunday night crowd. So, but that's what's going to be taking place tonight if any of you would like to come. And so Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you.' Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see.' So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. I'm going to stop right there for just a minute. And what I really want you guys to think about right now, this time of year, is I think we need to get back in spiritual shape. And I don't know what you guys interpret me saying that as, but okay, like, have any of you ever dieted, and then after you've been on a diet a while, and then you go back to kind of eating a little bit of normal food, you usually can't eat as much, right? Because your stomach has shrunk. And like me, it's been the opposite the last month. I've been eating so much, and then this week I went back to work and got back in my normal routine, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, my stomach is growling, and I'm so hungry because I've gotten used to eating all day, being at home and being on vacation and all the stuff that was going on for Christmas and everything. So I've been starving the last couple days, and last night I'm trying not to eat late, and at 11 o'clock I'm like, I'm starving. And I went and got a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles. I was like, I gotta eat something, you know. And why? Because I'm not in shape anymore to eat right and do right, because I've gotten so out of whack eating all this wonderful Christmas holiday food. So I want you to think about that in a spiritual sense. We've missed some Wednesdays. We've missed some Sunday nights. We've been going. We've been traveling. We've been out of our routine. And so what happens? You're not doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. And sometimes we get out of shape spiritually also. And it's so amazing to me how quickly I can stumble, how quickly I can fall, how quickly Satan can grab hold of me and pull me in temptation into sin, where I thought I was stronger than that. But what happened is I'm not in shape. So here, when you think about, when I'm sitting here thinking about the choice food of the king, I'm probably thinking that, man, that's some good food. That's probably great flavor. It probably would meet all your fleshly desires and how good it tastes. It'd be like, you know, the best pizza and a big old bowl of ice cream and some apple pie right next to it. I mean, that's, you know, that's like what I'm thinking, you know, is, or big steak or some brisket and mashed potatoes and gravy or whatever, you know, coleslaw, whatever your favorite. That's probably like the king had the best. He didn't deny himself anything. And so when you think, okay, Daniel's saying, I don't want to eat that good fleshly food, but I'm going to resist and do what I know is better for my physical body. And y'all, and it's the same spiritually, is that in our lives, sometimes we need to learn to resist and say no to things, even though they please the flesh, if they're not pleasing the spiritual man, the Holy Spirit, and what's inside of us, okay? And so I think that what my mind always is when we do our 21-day fast is I need to get back in spiritual shape. And for some of you that have not done it with us before or maybe haven't even heard of it, in years past, we've kind of fasted from different things, but I don't think I've ever asked you to fast from something specifically. Like, I've never said everybody's no meat, you know, or everybody don't do this, or everybody just eat vegetables or whatever, because I want it to be a personal thing with you and the Lord. And it needs to be something that has control over you, okay? And we're going to get into that a little more, because I'm looking at this, though, and I'm thinking, if I've already failed the last couple weeks. When the good food was put out in front of me, I started off pretty good. Mark and Tamisha's house, she's a great cook, and I ate a little too much, but not way too much. But then we took home leftovers, and then we had my mom's Christmas, and then we had my dad's Christmas, and then we had a pile of sweets on our counter so big, I took it to work. I took it to Amy and Kyle's house. I've been taking it everywhere, trying to get rid of some of this food, because what happens is I'm not being very good anymore with it sitting there. I keep going back and back and back, and it's like, I got to get it out of this house. And so Daniel had this opportunity with this food all in front of him, but he said, no, test and let's see what happens. And so I'm challenging you all in the areas of your life where maybe you're struggling, where maybe you have a weakness. Maybe this is the time that we can begin to test and see what happens when we turn it over to the Lord. Verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, so that they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the other magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And so, I'm not saying that if you fast here for 10 days, 21 days, or whatever, that you're going to be the smartest guy at work and all that. But what I am saying is, when you give God your best, He can do things that you can't even imagine with your life. And you guys, well, you might be saying, well, wait a minute. Why are we doing 21 days? He just said that they tested for 10 days. Why are we doing 21 days? But the verse before, I think it was verse 7, it said that they were going to be trained for 3 years. And if you interpret this, that's the food they ate for 3 years. So you want to do it? I mean, let's get down to it. And also, I believe I look it up here in a minute. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, so I'll probably be repeating it. But I think it's in Daniel chapter 10 that Daniel had fasted for 3 days. We'll read that, or 3 weeks. And that's kind of where the Daniel fast, the 21-day fast, comes into play. But we'll get to that in a minute. I'm just kind of all over the place today. I just have so much in my heart and so much in my mind with this that I need to work on for myself, okay? I need more God in my life. I do. I've been out of sorts. I've been on vacation. I've been taking life easy. I haven't been studying like I was. I hadn't been reading my Bible like I was. I've been having things come into my life, and it's just like I need to get back in spiritual shape. And so Daniel, even though this food would have pleased his flesh, he knew that it wasn't the best thing for him. And so 1 Corinthians 6:12-13 says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." I want y'all to think about that verse. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, our culture and our religion has dictated so much what's good, what's bad, and you shouldn't have this, and you shouldn't eat this, or you shouldn't drink that. And I'm not going to get in y'all's personal business here this morning, but I would ask you, why do you not do some things? Is it because of the religion, or is it because God's told you? Or why do you do some things? Is it because of the culture, or is it because what God's told you? And so not everything is beneficial. And I think sometimes we make laws about you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that, and we really don't know why we've made this law in our mind. But we need to come to understanding that not everything that we partake in, food or otherwise, is really beneficial to us. It says everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. You jump down to verses 19 and 20. It says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." So you get take all this together, honoring God with our body, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that I will not be mastered by anything. So what I'm asking you is, what has master over you today? Is it food, where last night I'm up at 11 o'clock eating a bowl of Fruity Pebbles? Or Cocoa Pebbles, you know, it's Cocoa Pebbles, not Fruity. I was hungry and I gave in. Is it food for you today? Are you still, you know, the candy sitting on the counter, the leftover Christmas cookies, or the bag of chips and dip or whatever? Is that what masters you? Okay, so that's easy to look at. What masters you in food? Well, but y'all, there's so much today that I believe can have mastery over us. Food, entertainment, wealth, popularity, family, your children, drugs, and as far as medication, drugs in a legal sense. All those things can grab hold of us. Are you a junkie for entertainment? Do you have to be entertained all the time, or can you just sit and be for a while? You know, I preached a sermon on it several years ago, but about that we're never quiet anymore to just listen for God. Elevators have music. We have music going in our cars. The other day I told Crystal I was watching a football bowl game. I think it was the Rose Bowl, and they were showing all the players going on a tour or something, a kind of a treat for the players. And these players, it was walking around a museum, and they all had headphones in, and they're with other people, and they're all listening to their music, walking around. They constantly, that's not the sermon this morning, but some of us can get into that where we need constant entertainment. It can become our master. Our master can be our family. And you say, well, Pete, you should love and take care of your family, your children. And yes, that's all wonderful. That's all good. We're as men, we're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we're supposed to take care of our family. And the Bible talks about taking care of your parents, and that you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your parents. And so that's all good. But does that control you now? Is that what is your master? You look at wealth. Is getting more and having more and more money and more things, is that your master? That's a big one for many of us. The other night, I told y'all my car and everything. We've been praying for my car to keep going. I need my car to last like 3 more years. So y'all be praying my car lasts 3 more years. But the other night, I'm sitting there and I'm bored. And so what do? I don't open up my Bible. I don't open up my devotional. You know what I do? Cars.com. And I'm sitting there and I looked over at Madeline and Crystal and I said, I think I've got a problem. And they started laughing. And it's like, I'm not buying anything, but I'm looking for good deals, looking for that good deal. And I found one and I didn't buy it and I didn't buy it and I resisted and now it sold because it was a good deal. Ugh! You guys get what I'm saying? When I'm bored, should I not be opening my Bible? Should I not be reading a devotional? I need to get back in spiritual shape. And I need to quit being mastered by worldly, earthly things. Popularity. We can be mastered by popularity, wanting everybody to like us, wanting everybody to know who we are, wanting, you know, I see these things. I don't even have them, but I've been thinking about getting one of those things just so I can keep up with what everybody's doing, because I hear through the grapevine what everybody's doing. So I've been thinking about getting something, but then I think, well, do I really need that? I don't know, and everything that goes along with it. But I've seen something on the news about these people coaching people how to get more followers. Is it Instagram or something that you make money on, you know, and they get so many followers that they – and there was this – did y'all see on the news that 8-year-old kid, was it $24 million, $25 million he made last year from people watching him open up toys and play with toys? $25 million, 8-year-old kid. It's crazy. But then what? That popularity and getting people, it can suck you in. So everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Soda pop. You know, sugar, sweets, popularity, wealth, you know, all those things. What are you struggling with this morning? Okay? Well, what has mastery over you? I've got more than one that I need to get out of my life. And we usually do the 21-day fast in January. And so I said we're going to start it next Saturday, the 11th. But it's okay if you start it today. It's okay if you start it Monday. But what I would ask you is maybe to begin to pray and really be honest before the Lord and say, God, what do I need to get out of my life? What's hindering my walk with you? If it's food, so be it. If it's television, so be it. If it's you know, social media, so be it. If it's whatever it is, God, I need your help because I know that this has more power over me than it should. I get this update every week, and I'm almost ashamed to say it, and I don't think it's accurate, but I get this update on my phone of screen time. Do you guys get those? And I seen this morning, it said my screen time was down 31% this week. Yeah, 31%! But then it said my screen time was still over 3 hours a day. What? I'm like, that can't be possible. There's no way I look at my phone 3 hours a day. I don't know, maybe it's right. Maybe I just need the wake-up call. But I'm like, that's ridiculous, Pete. That's ridiculous. There's something else I need to fast from. There's something else that I need to get out of my life. You know, when I think about it, how often am I watching television or something, and I'm not only watching television, but I'm scrolling through the news, I'm scrolling through the headlines, I'm looking at cars.com or whatever, you know, so I ask you this morning, what has taken control of your life? Daniel 10, 2 and 3, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine, touched my lips, and I used no lotion at all until the 3 weeks were over. And so that's where the 3 weeks, the Daniel fast comes in. That was 10, verses 2 and 3. And what I would ask for you guys this morning is we need to begin to train ourselves in every area and learn to resist the temptations that are out there that may not be sin, but that can grab a hold of you. Does that make sense? Because not everything that I'm messing with is necessarily per se sin. But when it grabs me and takes control of me, and I'd rather do that, then it does become sin and it's wrong. And I think that there's a point in each and every one of our lives that we need to stop and say, do I have self-control? Can I cut this out of my life? You know, most years, ever since we've been doing this, and we've been doing it for several years now, one of the things that I always fast from is Mountain Dew. And it's crazy because I'll fast from Mountain Dew, and what happens? The first 2 or 3 days, I physically get sick. My head hurts and I feel terrible and I'm tired and I'm drained. Why? Because I'm not taking in that caffeine and that, now I'm on diet Mountain Dew, so it wouldn't be the sugar rush, but I'm not taking that in my body anymore and I'm physically sick. But then you know what? After a couple days of being physically sick, I begin to feel better. But you know what always happens? Because I'm just dumb. Is after 21 days, I'll just have one. And that tasted so good. Well, I'll just have one a day. You guys would be ashamed of me if you've seen how much Diet Mountain Dew I drink every day. It's bad. I'm glad Crystal's in the nursery. Tim's saying she can still hear you. It's terrible. But I'll go from, well, I've broken it and I don't have the headaches and I don't feel bad anymore, to all at once, well, just one here or there, then one a day, and then two a day, then just, and then it, and it, I'm right back in it. Television, the same thing. We fasted from television several times over the years. And then, you know, it's amazing all the things that you can do when you turn the TV off. And it's amazing all the time you can spend together just as a family when you turn the TV off. And Crystal gets on to me. I'm not watching any bad shows or anything like that. But she's like, why do you constantly have to have that on? I'll come in and Crystal will be sitting there without the TV on, the kids, and what do? I come in, poof, turn it on. You constantly have to have that on, Pete. Why? Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. If you look at the time frame of when this was written, what did the walls represent to a city? It represented protection from the enemy, right? So when we have no self-control, we have no protection from our enemy. That's pretty much what that's saying. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. It's a fruit of the Spirit to have self-control, to say no to something. And when I read this and I think about this, and I was just praying and I thought, you know, All through my 20s, pretty much consistently, I worked out. I lifted weights, I played basketball, I walked or I was running, and I was doing all these things. And then in my 30s, it started slowing down a little bit, and I didn't quite do as much. And then I hurt my ankle playing basketball with the guys back here, and then I quit playing basketball at about 37, 38. And then we were playing volleyball all the time, but then just different things come up, and we quit doing that. And for the past 2 or 3 years, I've pretty much done nothing. But as I was thinking about all that, and I thought, you know, it's crazy how disciplined I see a lot of people being with exercise and their regimen, getting up every day and working out, or I'm running so far, or I'm lifting weights, and I'm doing this in the gym. And they can be so disciplined in that area, but so lacking in other areas, where they don't read their Bible, they don't pray, they're on their phone all the time, they're always watching movies or entertainment. You guys see what I'm saying? And I've seen that's true in my own life, that I can be so disciplined in some areas, and some areas, it's like I have none. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And where I'm at is, Father, I don't want to be controlled by anything other than You and the Holy Spirit. And that should be a fruit of the Spirit, is the self-control to say no, even in good things, you know? To know when enough's enough, to turn away from it, to not let that become my master. And you guys say, well, lifting weights, working out, running, that's all good. And it is. It's great. But for some people, that even becomes their master. You know, we're looking at going on a family vacation this summer. And I it bugged me yesterday because we got a huge family. And so we're trying to find a place that will accommodate everybody. And we're all searching for a house, searching for a place to stay, searching. Is it something we can afford? Is everybody going to have their own room? Is there enough room for the kids? And we're searching. And for 2 or 3 days since we got our vacation set, that's become the focus. Going on vacation together is a great thing. Spending time with your family is a great thing, but it's almost consumed us for 2 or 3 days trying to find a place to stay. That's not wrong in itself, but I was sitting there as I was searching for a house to stay in, and it was like the Lord said, when was the last time you searched this much through the Scripture for something that you needed? Ooh. You're right, God. You know, because it's important to find a house that will accommodate everybody. It's important to, you know, find the dates and the times. That's all important. So that's why we're so intense at doing it. But then the Lord's sitting there saying, well, you know, there's a lot of things in your life that you need help with that's important, but you're not searching with that intensity. I need some work. I need some self-control. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Y'all, that's what the Lord's saying. I've given you the fruit of the Spirit. Part of that is self-control, that I've given you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, that God has given us all those things. And I think about Moses, and I don't know if I'm going to get through all this today. Moses in Hebrews 11, 24 and 25, and we were talking about faith last week, and we didn't get to Moses, but by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. And the reason why I wanted to read that is because he understood the pleasures of sin is only for a short time. What has mastered us Do we have enough self-control, enough self-discipline to say no to sin for that pleasure for a short time? Just as Daniel in that food, it was probably wonderful food, huge things, and he says, I'm not going to do it. Because the effects is only for a short time, y'all. That's what, when I'm dieting and everything, that's what I've got to get in my mind, that this is just a short pleasure, but it has lasting effects. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 25 says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets a prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And I wanted to read that, y'all, because I think that sometimes in our flesh, in our body, we have to beat it into submission. Turn off that television. Lay down that phone. Get off social media. Lay down that Mountain Dew. Put up the cookies. Whatever. Whatever it is, whatever that has a hold of you, it's hard sometimes. It's hard to resist. It's hard to say no. It's hard to say enough's enough. And any time you are ready to take a stand, what happens? Satan hits you. Satan hits you. I told you I was 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, and I was fasting from sweets. My boss, who's never bought me anything or done anything like that, the first or second day of the fast, I can't remember, maybe it was the first week, came out of the office and had bought me a candy bar just to be nice and set it there. Said, here. And then he's standing there waiting for me to eat it. And I'm like, what do I do? You know? Because that's what Satan, you know, he's putting stumbling blocks in our way. So I promise you, if you pray this week and you say, God, what do I need to get out of my life? Satan's going to hit you with everything he has to try and keep you from following through with that. We're going to end right here. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 8. And this is encouraging, y'all. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God's given us everything we need. God's given us everything we need. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You hear that? We can escape these evil desires. We can escape all that Satan's doing to us. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe this last year you feel like I've just been really ineffective in my walk with God. I feel unproductive. I feel like another year's passed and nothing's changed. I still have the same old struggles with the same old sins. I still feel beaten. I still feel abandoned. I still feel the same way. Y'all, God has given us everything we need for victory. It's when we turn our life over to Him and we quit being mastered by all these fleshly, all these worldly desires. Daniel says, you can test me and see what happens. So I want to challenge y'all. Some of y'all I'm not going to see before next Saturday. I want to challenge y'all. If you want to start today, you want to start tomorrow, that's great. But I challenge you to pray and say, Lord, what am I really struggling with? Lord, what is consuming my heart? What is consuming my thoughts? Lord, what really has become my master? And if it's anything other than the Lord, if it's anything other than the Holy Spirit, and cut that out of your life. And maybe Maybe you're one here that's walking in victory every day and you say, hey, I don't have anything in my life that I need to cut out. And if you're there, then I ask you to just pray for me and the rest of the body of believers, that we may have the strength to resist, that we may have the strength to overcome, that we may have the strength to set down some stuff and set aside some stuff. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. Lord, You see in my heart as You do in every heart in this room. And Father, I ask for forgiveness. Lord, for the rebellion, for the sin, for the times that I've resisted to do good and chose to do evil. Father, I pray for everybody in this room, Lord, that if there's something that's hindering our walk with You, if there's something that has control over us and we have no self-control in that area, Lord, that You would reveal it to us right now. And that we would be able to set it down. We would be able to walk away from it. Lord, that we would give this area to You. And that we would have faith and trust enough to know that You've given us everything that we need to live a godly and righteous life. Lord, may we have the faith and trust, Lord, to walk in that and to live in that. May You speak to everyone now. Father, have Your way. In Jesus' mighty name.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find Your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can heal. So lay down Your burdens, lay down Your shame to all who are broken. Lift up Your face. Oh, sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down Your burden.
If you're not going to be here tonight, I encourage you to read Isaiah 58 this week. That can be part of the fasting. We're going to discuss that a little more tonight on not only what are you to abstain from, but what you should be doing. That's the plan for tonight. But like I said, Mitzi's going to share her testimony of what the Lord's been sharing with her this last week, and so we may not get to this tonight, and if we don't, then that's fine. But I encourage you to read Isaiah 58, and you guys have a wonderful afternoon.